It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. And it's my great pleasure to welcome the man that you want to know if you want to know anything about the Alaska State Fair, whether you want to make a suggestion or perhaps you want to point out something that is really nice or something else. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, Mike. Always appreciate visiting with you.
Now, let us say you have been in charge of the fair in some sense. You know, you were selected to replace a previous manager, and that was done now. You're into your third year?
Yep, this is my third fair, two full years now under my belt. Yep.
Okay. So one of the things that's always nice to say is at this point, you probably still remember what it was like on your first day at the fair. Talk a little bit about that first day.
Yeah, well, you know, there's 2 days. The first day on the job in roughly July, and then the fair opened 6 weeks later. So let's talk about the first day of the fair itself.
Okay,
that'd
be good.
Probably
yeah, that's good.
Is my most poignant moment, is that impressive nature of how this community and this state embraces the Alaska State Fair. Immediate takeaway. Weather wasn't all that great, and people come in droves, and they do it in such a way it's a tradition, it matters, they feel, and they show appreciation for the work that that organization, of course, my organization, the Alaska State Fair, is doing. So I was just overly impressed with the nature of support that I saw firsthand from the community coming in by voting with their footsteps, coming through the gates, being there, attending. That was impressive for me.
Well, good. So now we fast forward. Mm-hmm. It's end of May, coming into June. The fair is getting ever closer. I know many people are saying, well, we're just planting our garden.
That's
and
right.
We're talking about the fair. But we know, you know particularly well, that the fair requires a lot of planning, a lot of work, even when the fair isn't going on.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, could you describe for people what's happening at the fair to prepare for this year's fair?
Yeah, right behind this is behind the scenes, kind of behind the curtains thing,
sure.
As we talk about it, because what most people know is the fair is basically planned, especially in the context of and how I approach management of the fair. I have this basically this 90-day rule. 90 days out, we're not introducing new ideas, new things. We're fine-tuning and doing things exceptionally well. It's about taking the 9 months prior and then saying, we're done with that. Now let's do it really well. So we're now in that phase, Mike. We're in that. We know what the fair is going to look like. We have the promotions planned. We have the new activities ready to go. We're now in fine-tuning, getting it ready for that public consumption. Public consumption meaning talking about it, marketing it, and ultimately producing it.
Okay. So if I were to go out to the fair right now, mm-hmm. I've finished this, as that must be a sunny day.
Yeah.
What would I see?
You're going to see, first of all, what's going to strike you, especially coming from Palmer, is you're going to see out at the Purple Gate a construction site. You're going to see the future multi-purpose event center that is currently under construction. Local company Kuchar Construction is our general contractor. The second major addition of the fairgrounds in 4 years, Flusbox being the other one. We're extremely excited and proud of this project. It's meaningful. It's going to provide a space for the community to use year-round.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But also serves a fair purpose of hosting things in that factory. And most importantly, I wouldn't say most importantly, it provides equally importantly new restrooms on the grounds as well out by the Purple Gate. So you're going to see that first right now under construction is the addition of an exciting property being this multi-purpose event center.
Okay. Now, also, from time to time, we note that various pavilions and other things have popped up.
Mm-hmm.
The central structure of buildings has remained pretty much the same. I mean, people know Raven Hall,
yep.
They know the Animal Building, and so on. Occasionally, there's been another significant improvement or change in one place or another. Is the one you've described pretty much what will be different for this year, or are there others?
Yeah, well, physically, that's the major physical change. A lot of the stuff is behind the scenes that you wouldn't even notice. General maintenance, which we don't want the consumer to see. We want to be stuff to we want it to be completely off their radar, but stuff that needs to be done. So that's the focus, general maintenance. But major improvements is renovating and providing space and planning for our fairgrounds of the future. And so that's this idea, this new multipurpose venue, is that very thing. What does this fairground need to have in the future? Now, that feeds the fair, that provides, I mean, it means by feeds the fair, it provides a new facility to house events and programs during the fair, but also provides year-round purpose and year-round usage of the fairgrounds. We have this program called Fairgrounds 365, which is looking at the property, not just the fair. A lot of people have conversations about the fair, and that's the fun part, and there's major things to talk about. But we also look at it from a planning perspective and from being good stewards to the 300 acres in South Palmer being that fairgrounds and being a space that we can provide for people.
Now, you've begun the segue into talking about times other than the fair times, mm-hmm. when other, I know, large events occur out there. It might be a dog show. It might be Highland Games. It might be something mm-hmm. involved with the Airman Show. Are you seeing an increased number of those uses of the fairgrounds, or what can we look forward to seeing as you're talking about the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we hope to see more. You're seeing a lot of usage. We have over 100 events, but some of those events are actually part of the fair. Each concert is considered an event. But if you take that away, it's a good 75 events. A lot of them in Raven Hall and a few others, but there's some big ones, the Scottish Highland Games, the Airman Show, the dog shows, and things of that nature. We just recently had the Vintage Market and Food Cart Festival. Right. So those are all good activity, good years of the program. And let's not ignore the Matsu Miners. It's their home field, which is an event by itself.
Talk a moment, moment here. That Miners Field, is it literally on the fairgrounds or adjacent to it?
It's absolutely on the fairgrounds. It was built and constructed on fairgrounds property and leased to the Miners organization as part of a nonprofit, good gesture, community service thing we do. So they maintain it, operate it, but it's part of our major, it's part of the 300-acre complex.
That is interesting because of all of the interviews, of all the times I've thought about that question of, okay, the Miners Field is there, and you're doing a nice job of explaining that, yeah, it's fairground property.
Yep, absolutely. It's over 300 acres. And so that's the big picture, not to get too deep into that. The big picture is my organization, my thought process is continuing to manage and maintain and grow a world-class fair, which we're doing that. We had record attendance last year, having enough exciting enhancements that maintains that. And then being good stewards of the property to provide proper infrastructure. And that's what we're talking about in the addition of the new building and talking about improvement, general maintenance, about the facilities, the pavement, and things of that nature. It's little steps and a few big steps along the way within the reasonable things that we can do within our scope.
Okay. So I have to jump to something that is quite visible also, mm-hmm. and that is the near completion of the divided highway.
Yeah.
Coming from the interchange right to the fairgrounds.
You bet.
Does your information tell us that it will be done and divided by the time the fair begins?
Yeah, that's subject to change, of course.
Sure,
big project like that. But our information is it should be completed by fair time. If it by some reason it is not, there's like a work moratorium that takes place, so you won't have work being done. There'll be no delays. You'll see orange cones and things like that at construction site, but it will be no impediment to traffic flow if indeed they're not completed. Meaning, so it would not have anything take place. But hopefully, it's going to be done. That's what we've been told, and we're hoping up for that. We're very hopeful.
So whenever I drive that, I look and I say, whoa, they've made incredible progress. The paving here and there, it looks like they're almost ready to make that happen. I've experienced the completion of a section one place or another and the dramatic change that results in. But it also means, I'm thinking, okay, so now we have a divided highway, so you no longer have that pile of cars that has to gradually wend its way to the fairgrounds, they're going to flow right to your gate.
Yeah.
And you've done some things to improve the movement from the highway into parking. Any changes this year?
Continued improvement. That's what I would say. In fact, we're having our parking team actually come to the fairgrounds this week, as a matter of fact, to continue to enhance and revise. Never do this perfect. You're never going to be perfect at it.
Sure.
But always, from a critical eye perspective, you can always do it better. The free parking element has made a difference for sure.
Yep.
And that's maintained. The public can enjoy free parking on the fairgrounds property. That comes with that responsibility to get that car in. There's no lag of a payment system into the time you park. So it's a continuous flow. It requires not as many resources in terms of human beings parking as the prior system does. We just got to be on it and more efficient and parking them in a quick manner. So I think the fairgoers not going to see much difference. The differences we'll make will be just improving on the processes. We call it the snake, which is the line once you get off the highway. The snake that, and it's by design a long snake. So you're off the highway, you're not impeding traffic flow, but you're in a snake that's moving. That's the key to parking a car is keeping it moving.
Got to keep it moving.
So that's we're going to continue to reinforce and continue to reinforce with, and that just takes good old fashioned horsepower people making that happen.
Well, there's another snake that I'm familiar with, and that's the one that forms sometimes when people don't buy their tickets in advance.
Right. Yeah.
And that one can bite you. You spend an amount of time out there. So let's talk a little bit about ways in which people can just casually saunter up and pass through without having to stand in line.
Yeah, the best way, and you save money, is, and you go online right now in advance, because it's not available once the fair starts, is to buy your tickets in advance, whether it be a season pass, whether it be a 4-pack or a 6-pack, or your daily admission. You get that online, seamless process, and then you don't have to line up wait in the line for two different lines, meaning to purchase and then to get in. So that is a easy way to do that, and actually you save money, so you get kill two birds with one stone, meaning you have save some money as well as you don't have the long lines. And surprisingly, and this is a fact, that we're starting to see more online purchases than advance than actually at the door purchases. We're just about ready to turn that corner to be where the majority will be in advance. So that is the way the consumer is understanding that way to go. And so the lines last year, even on our busiest days, were not as impactful as they were maybe 2 or 3 years ago because of the advance lines. And we can easily get through people through the without the ticket purchasing process by just going through the scanning process, which is rather really simple and turnkey.
Okay, let's follow on.
Yeah.
We've got people into the parking.
Yep.
They parked and they've come through the gate, and now they're in the fairgrounds itself. They're on the grounds. Are there any changes in the way people are going to be able to see what's happening where and when?
Yeah, here's the what's new factor of the segment, I would say. And before I get to the what's new, what people love about this fair, that everybody I talk to, there's things they see don't change. Like, they love going to see into the farm exhibit building, seeing the animals.
Right.
They love the diversity of the food. They love, which is amazing, the 500 plus different types of vendors, especially very Alaskan focused. All that is the true essence of the fair. The trails are the same, all that which matters. What's new and different is a little bit of emphasis on entertainment, for sure. We have, and what's coming back as part of that, I still say is what's new, is the Cirque Maceo, a horse equestrian arts attraction, free with your admission. Another free part of admission, which is a major effort to make happen logistically, is we're going to bring a museum-quality exhibit to the Don Sheldon Event Center. It's Da Vinci, the Experience. And what a brilliant man.
Yes,
what a brilliant man. Not just an artist, but a brilliant brain. And some things we use every day in our lives come from his very thinking. There's an entire exhibit, some 190 pieces of artifacts and pieces of his work that'll be here in Alaska that we're shipping up here and will be free to the community to take in during the fair. So that's what they're going to do. Especially if they walk in red, they're going to walk down the trail and suddenly, boom, there is the Da Vinci exhibit. We got some new attractions, some internationally known attractions. Some, if you're a fan of America's Got Talent, we got this unicyclist who was incredibly popular, almost won the thing. You're going to see him at the fairgrounds this year. You're going to see 158 plus hours of free entertainment. A lot of it's new and different. So what the major point, Mike, is that it's a little bit of tried and true, but a lot of some new elements that go, wow, I haven't seen that before. And last but not least, I'll say we're going to do a special day on the fair called, which I think is very Palmer-focused, is a farm and garden day. Uh-huh. It's kind of just a tribute to, we're all farmers, sure, right here, whether it be in half acre or 12 acres. And we're doing special seminars and specific segments. We're still in the planning phase, but we have not had an actual day, even though we are an agricultural fair by nature.
Sure.
But dedicating a day where some of our activities and stages emphasize just some exhibitions on training and learning about how you can be better at it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned farm, and of course, there is an adjunct to the fair, which is a farm. Talk about how that fits into the whole scope of things.
Yeah, the farm is what I would say is the year-round mission-driven emphasis of the Alaska State Fair, Inc. Alaska State Fair, Inc. Is a 501c3 not-for-profit. There's no state funding like other state fairs. We have to survive and thrive based on the support we can self-generate by people attending our fair or renting our grounds and things of that nature. So when I look at the Rabarchuk farm, that's that 365 mission-driven program that places an emphasis on the agricultural roots of Alaska.
Right.
And we are programming it with 4-H and FFA, and we donate the space for them to come in and use the barn and to have seminars and of that nature, but it's also used for agricultural plots, right? For communities to come in and plant plots of potatoes and come out on the harvest day and plant those. We're doing educational seminars out there. So the public can come out anytime. It's kind of this little hidden gem. It's a beautiful space.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful space. We also rent it out for space for people who want to have small events out there. So it's part of our fairgrounds. It's in our DNA. It's less visible, obviously, because it's
sure,
just off the main property complex, but very appropriate for our agricultural roots mission.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm speaking with Jeff Curtis, who's in charge of the Alaska State Fair. Now let's go to the serious questions. There's Raven Hall. Mm-hmm. And in front of Raven Hall, there's a circle. And each year, there's something different there. What's going to be there this year?
That's a serious question. I knew you were probably going to answer that. And we kind of keep that secret.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
We do. We kind of unveil that for the fair. So I'm looking forward to unveiling it. It's still in the works, but the plaza will have maintain its very important central hub of which the Page Roots and our team puts a lot of thought into.
And year after year, it is. I think, at least for me, and I think for others, going there and saying, oh, okay, well, look at that.
Yeah.
It's different, and it is attractive, and it's certainly a central point around which people move and go off to different trails and all, but okay.
Yeah, I would call it the little things matter, and that's not a little thing, but it doesn't show up in your bottom line numbers. It's not equivalent to a ticket sale. That's the centerpiece of what we do year-round. Becky and our garden team work year-round from seedlings to the growth of the plants that we see at the fair. A lot of people have no idea what goes into that project. These are not brought someplace else. We grow these flowers on the grounds year round, and then we artistically put them around the ground. So we have a fairgrounds that's a beautiful space during the fair.
Okay, so the weather.
Yeah.
The weather during fair times has been variable. I've been going to the fair for decades, and I know some years it seems there's maybe a little moisture more than others, sometimes more sunshine, and it comes at different times. It comes on weekend or not. But one of the things about that, since we can't really control the weather, is I've noticed, at least from my perspective, that there have been improvements in places where people can, for example, if they desire to buy something to eat, they don't have to stand in the rain and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that's been intentional.
100% intentional. 100%. We can't control the weather. You said it yourself. It's going to rain. There's going to be blowing winds. Our job, and it's a work in progress, Mike. It's a work in progress, but little things matter. And anytime we can put fix a puddle by a resurfacing project, or we can provide a covered pavilion, which the fair has done a nice job of, actually three large covered pavilion, and our new event center, which will serve that similar purpose. You can get out of the way and go inside the event center, and when it's there'll be activities on some days, and some days it might be just open, but the doors are always going to be open to get away and out of the elements. So that's key, and it's a little. But with that big affair, it's the large infrastructure and the size and scope. You know, we still tell the Alaskans, which is the message, you know, bring a change of clothes if you need, come prepared for the elements. And what I've noticed in my couple of years here is, boy, is that true. Alaskans know how to go outside and go to the fair and enjoy themselves, and they prepare for it. So we're trying to do our best to mitigate some of those problem areas, but and it is intentionally a progress proposal for us to improve the grounds and the sights and sounds and the experience.
Okay. Well, Jeff, I've asked a lot of questions, and you've given me new information that I didn't know about before. So we have a few minutes left. What last thoughts, comments, underlinings would you like to leave with our listeners before we do finish up?
Yeah, there's a couple things, a couple of improvements that I didn't get to in the big picture. The little things matter. For us, and mm-hmm. I say, like the experience of this new event center, that we're not just putting in new bathrooms, but we're building a special mother's nursing room for the private space for young moms nursing their children. We're building as part of this bathroom project, a special room equipped with an 80 accessible adult changing table, which is for those adults that need help.
Right.
Which is when they're at the fair and there's no place to go, it's your end of your day, and these things matter to us. So those are just a couple examples of what I call the softer side of the fair that we care and our thinking is deliberate thinking. We're building ourselves picnic tables that are suitable for someone in a wheelchair that are at the right height so they can actually use them and stay in their chair. So that's an example of that. We're also trying to expand and invest in the France Equestrian Center. What it will be a difference is one of our rodeos, our timed event rodeo, which is on the first weekend of the fair, will move over to the France Equestrian Center.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. It used to be 25 years ago. The rodeo was over there in the Equestrian Center. So we're still doing a big rodeo in the major grandstand second weekend of the fair. But our first weekend, we're going to put the smaller rodeo over there. And that's intentional because one of the things that we've seen deliberately and is very clear is that Alaskans love their toys, their motorsports toys.
Absolutely.
So we're going to do and we've booked a major attraction out of Montana that's done fairs across the country. They're going to be coming up to our way and doing it. It's called 406 FMX, which is motorcycle stunt team show in the grandstand that first weekend of the fair. Oh. So details will be coming out on our website more specifically and all that. But I want to get your listeners excited about there's activity in the grandstand that's new in addition to monster trucks and demo derby and rodeo. And we're activating the France Equestrian Center, all not to ignore the major entertainment that's in the Borealis Theater of national quality, that we'll have 15 national acts that are kind of the feeder of the fair. That gets the people there
for
a couple of different
debts. Yeah.
So that's a big strategy for us. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say how proud I am of the lineup we put together and excited about that. And for the listeners, pay attention to our website, look at our website, engage our website, and every week we'll start more and more will be added. This is intentional. There's kind of a go for a quiet period. As now the summer's here, we're in that 90-day runway. We'll start to unveil more and more information as we get closer.
Jeff, wonderful. I'm already feeling the building up of excitement, even though the fair is a couple months away, but obviously you're in the midst of it. You feel that. And I'm sure our listeners do, too.
I appreciate it. I always love being on the show and talking about the fair and excited to see everybody out in August.
All right. Thank you. See you then.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.